Jeff Bloom is with me now. Mr. Bloom Racing, what's happening, brother?
Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, pal. Happy Midnight Bisou Day.
I like the sound of that.
You know, I just coming out of the commercial break there, I played the soundbite of Personal Ensign defeating the boys, defeating Gulch in the 88 Whitney, and she certainly was, you know, obviously a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest we've ever seen. We're sitting here with Midnight Bisou, who is 13 for 21 lifetime. She's earned more than $7.3 million. And, Jeff, her return race last time in the Fleur-de-Lis was just outstanding.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting if you look at the body of her work in the 21 races that she's run. I would put the Fleur-de-Lis as one of the top two or three standout performances just for a lot of different reasons for me, a couple including first race off the transatlantic trip to Saudi Arabia, the break in between races, and the fact that she had such an incredible, powerful middle move that she made to get herself into position, and the way she drew off and won in hand, all of those things combined made that race just so remarkable to watch. It was such a visually impressive race.
Yeah, it was a different type of race for her. We're so used to seeing her lay back, make that one powerful late run and blow by everybody late, but she was in a more forward position throughout much of that race. Did that surprise you?
No, and you know, she was pretty keyed up, having been off a while, and also let's not forget that there was some pretty significant speed in the race that, you know, you want to make sure that they're not able to just completely sneak away. But if you look back to some of her earlier races, Mike, including not so far back as even in the Beldame at Belmont Park in September of last year, she's been somewhat forwardly placed. I mean, she has legitimate tactical speed, and that's one of the things that Mike Smith always talks about when he refers to Midnight's running style. She's got such an eclectic way of handling each and every race and the race complexion. Like, she has the ability to be up on it. She can come from way out of it. It never really matters, and that's one of the fortunate things, regardless of what happens when the horses break out of the starting gate. With Midnight Bisou, in terms of where you end up coming into that first turn, it doesn't necessarily matter. She'll place herself in the position she kind of needs to be to get the job done.
You know, Saratoga has never been her favorite track necessarily, and even as I say that, Jeff, she's raced there three times. She has a win, a second, and a third, so she's never been off the board, but she seems to maybe struggle just a bit more over that racing surface. But yet here you are as the defending champion in the Grade 1 Personal Ensign. What do you make of her approach when she gets to Saratoga?
Now, you're right, Mike. I mean, the filly, when she shows up at a racetrack, she'll adjust and really overcome whatever adversity might be presented to her. But it's no secret that the Saratoga course wasn't necessarily her favorite surface. With that said, they repurposed, reconditioned the main track since last year. And to me, the track appears and or resembles somewhat the Belmont surface much more than last year's track. And any indication of her not liking the Saratoga track is sort of gone in terms of the way she's performed and trained over the main track this year. Mike, coming into this race is a little bit night and day. So that's encouraging because she does seem to get over this track really well, and certainly much better, I would think, than she has in the previous 2 years.
I mentioned as we were getting a hold of you, Jeff, that Mike Smith has been the regular rider of Midnight Bisou, won't be able to be aboard today because the restrictions of jockeys traveling from different racetracks in different states. Johnny V was aboard for the Beldame win. Johnny is not riding in the Personal Ensign. Instead, you go with Ricardo Santana Jr., who has that great relationship with Steve Asmussen. Talk about the decision to go with Ricardo in this spot.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it, Mike, is the fact that Ricardo and Steve have such a long-standing, close working relationship, and Ricardo being the go-to rider for Steve. And also, Ricardo's been on Midnight Bisou for so many of her workouts, including the final preps that were put into her leading into the fleur-de-lis at Churchill Downs. He's been on Midnight here. So Ricardo knows the filly really well from having worked her numerous times. And, you know, Ricardo's had plenty of conversations with Mike about those workouts when Mike's jumped aboard in the afternoon, and the fact that Steve and Ricardo do have such a close relationship, Ricardo being, you know, essentially the barn rider. So that was essentially the decision. And, you know, there was thought prior to having to make the final decision that the rules might be lifted or at least eased a little bit such that jockeys could travel. That wasn't the case. And so Ricardo is on the filly, and we're excited. He's excited and looking forward to it.
You know, I know, Jeff, when you work with us on the radio side of things, I know how diligently you prepare for a broadcast. And I know that you take that same approach when you're spotting your horses. And when they're in, you spend a lot of time looking at the competition and analyzing the situation that your horse is going into. So as a former jockey, if you were the one getting a leg up aboard Midnight Bisou today in the personal ensign, what's your plan A, your plan B? What's your approach going into this race?
Well, fortunately, Mike, I've got professional riders who are much better than I ever was at riding races. So I can relax and not have to worry about what my strategy would
Wait,
be.
Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell yourself short, Jeff. I'm pretty sure Ricardo Santana Jr. never won the Manitoba Derby.
Let's not forget that, Mike, and that's probably what'll be the thing if I can get close enough to Ricardo, which is challenging with these new rules to put in his ear. You know, let's not forget that he still doesn't have a Manitoba Derby win under his belt. But look, I think it's an interesting race on paper. There's some quality fillies in this race. There's not an abundance of apparent speed in here, and so I would expect that Midnight Bisou once the race sort of unfolds coming out of the gate, would be what I'd call forwardly placed. But again, we've talked about this a lot, about this filly, and Mike and I have talked about it at length, whereby, you know, you look at how you expect a race to unfold and it ends up being a little bit different. And the reality is it just doesn't matter for Midnight. So Ricardo's going to know that regardless of how things play out the first few strides coming out of that starting gate, that he's sitting on a filly that's going to give him a lot of run depending upon, you know, what happens when they come into that final turn. It's not really a great answer for you as to what my strategy would be, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the hope is that she's got a clean run when they come around that final turn and she's able to open up and do her thing.
I'm always curious, Jeff, put me in the saddle and kind of take me inside the mind of a jockey in this situation. So Midnight Bisou, heavy favorite, 2-5 on the morning line. There are only six horses in the race, so you always worry about every horse that's in there. But the main competition looks to come from the outside horse, Point of Honor, who is second choice, 5-2, just got beat a nose in the Grade 1 Ogden Phipps at Belmont on June 13th. So they kind of have almost a similar running style. Midnight Bisou may actually be placed just in front of Point of Honor at some point here in the race and maybe get first run. But as a jockey, are you cognizant of that fact that, okay, I know the main competition is coming from this one horse. I have to be considerate of her, but I got to keep an eye on everybody else. So how does a jockey approach that during the running of the race? Will Ricardo always know where Point of Honor is at every point?
You know, it's a great question. I think there's a couple of things you look at, especially in these higher level races, is quality of the horses that are in there in terms of what your expectations are of their finish and then their running style. And so, yeah, you're very much aware of what your expectations are for each one of those individual horses in terms of where they should be during the course of the race and what kind of quality they have in terms of if they're in that right position, what kind of move and finish they're going to be able to have. I don't know necessarily that Ricardo is going to be concerned about one individual horse as much as where the other horses are in terms of the way the race is unfolding. I think you're absolutely right. If you look at Point of Honor in terms of the running style, very similar kind of running lines, if you will, to our filly, Archuleta probably has a little bit more natural speed, if you will, yeah. I would think, just based on some of her earlier races. But look, Ricardo's no stranger to sitting on the back of prohibitive favorites in really important races. And he's already shown that he's got, you know, ice in his veins in terms of not letting the pressure or you know, the concern of having to get home and to the wire first on horses that are prohibitive favorites in grade one, grade two, grade three races. So, look, you know, Steve's got enormous confidence. We have enormous confidence in Ricardo's ability. Like I said, the fact that he knows the filly already pretty well from being on her back in the morning. And in terms of, you know, what Ricardo's going to be looking for, you know, he's definitely reviewed the past performances of these horses. He's either been in races with these fillies, you know, and knows their running styles. And all of that will help, you know, when it comes time to get position and when it's time to make his move.
Jeff Bloom, Bloom Racing, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Midnight Bisou, heavy favorite in today's Grade 1 personal ensign at Saratoga. Goes as race number 5, by the way. It'll be part of our broadcast beginning 5 o'clock Eastern. We'll have it on tape delay for you. And Bobby Newman and Ashley Mayhew will be able to analyze the results of that race and take you all the way through. You'll hear the full call, by the way, as part of our coverage this afternoon. Jeff, before I let you go, I know that there are no fans in attendance at Saratoga, which means a lack of crowd noise, but I've watched enough races with you, with your horses, when they're in contention down the stretch. I'm pretty sure if she's in the hunt down the stretch that you'll provide all the crowd noise we need.
You know what's funny about that, and it is kind of strange with how changed thing, how with the change in times and the fact that there's no fan participation, but it's weird. I kind of zone out all that noise anyways, and I'm in my own little world. And as you said, Mike, I'm sure I'll be making up for some of that missing noise on my own.
All right, bud. We'll go get it done. We'll be cheering, and let's go get two in a row in the personal ensign.
All right. I appreciate it, Mike, very much.